welcome to the latest episode of Storybook Library Podcast. I'm Candace. Today with me is Krista.
Hey.
And Caitlin.
Hello.
And we're trying to still move on from what is the winter finale, Swan Song. Guys, how are you feeling 24 hours later?
A lot happened, but a lot also didn't happen. And I think it was satisfying in some ways, but very unsatisfying in others, which is just, you know, once upon a time in general.
Yeah, it's what we were saying last week was they have a lot of storylines that they need to tie up. You just couldn't see them do it in an hour. And we were right. They didn't.
They didn't. Yeah. They didn't even try. I thought it was pretty interesting that they just kind of scrapped any and all plans they had for the Camelot cast. And, you know, I'm not like totally upset by it because I would rather use that hour to focus on our main characters like they did. But at the same time, it kind of left you wondering what the point of Arthur was or Guinevere. And poor Guinevere is still roofied and nobody's going to do anything about that. And we still don't know what happened to Lancelot and he just disappeared to go to the Lady of the Lake. And did Merida get back to her brothers or is she just going to like live in Storybrooke now permanently? They kind of dropped the ball on all of that and moved on to the next arc. So I don't know that we'll get that wrapped up at any point.
Yeah, I think it's hard to Will Scarlet where he just appears and you don't hear anything about him. It's like he never existed.
Bell's moved on.
Okay, well, the whole flashback in this episode is first we see Baby Hook.
Little Baby Hook. A-plus casting once again. They're so good at casting the young versions of these characters.
And we find out that he has a similar story to both Bay and Rumple. And it was mentioned before in season 2 that his father left him and his brother. But we found out that his father actually left him to be like slaves.
It was pretty terrible. And I think Brennan Jones is now in the running for Worst Parent Award on Once Upon a Time, which is a very hard fought award to win. You have to go up against Pan and Cora and they're pretty awful.
You know what? It kind of confused me that Hook would fall in love with someone like Mila who abandoned her own child.
That's a good thought. I hadn't even realized that.
The reason that Rumple kills Mila is because she abandoned him and Bay. And the reason Hook, spoiler alert, kills his father is because he abandoned him and his brother.
And more than that, he replaced himself and his brother and had the extremely bad taste to name his second family child after one of the children he abandoned, like Liam 2.0. What? That was pretty awful.
We don't know what happened to him. If he just wakes up in the morning and goes to the front yard and sees his dead father.
Yeah, that's pretty rough because, I mean, back then it's not like there were a lot of social services to come pick up the kids. I mean, Hook might have actually kind of killed his brother in the way that the kid would have no way to, like, survive.
I think Regina even mentions that he had destroyed one family and not to destroy Emma's family. So, I mean, actually, he's destroyed a few families. I do wonder if Liam 2.0 is going to come back at any point, because that is kind of a dangling thread that they could use again at some point. The only thing is that flashback took place probably like a year or two tops before Regina casts the curse. So he would still be a small child, I would imagine.
Yeah,
he's Storybrooke somewhere.
And let's go back to Storybrooke, where actually a lot of the action is happening. The Dark Ones are just roaming Storybrooke, pretty much.
Yeah, and Emma has the brilliant idea that they should split up, which, as all of us know, is never a good idea.
It's like she's never seen a horror movie before.
Exactly.
Yeah, they all split up to try and find Hook, because she's decided that the man she loves isn't there anymore, that he died in Camelot, and that all that's left is Dark One, and they have to stop him at any cost. And so they all split up and are quickly surrounded by Dark Ones. I did think it was interesting because it was like all of our main characters save Belle and Zelina and Emma. And then the dwarves who just happened to be like in the wrong place at the wrong time, I imagine.
Honestly, it took my second time watching to realize the dwarves got marked too. because I was counting the dark ones at the beginning, and I'm like, that's not the right number. And then I was, like, texting you guys, and I was like, did the dwarves get marked? Is that why they're there? Not just to make a little sassy comment?
So wait, then why weren't the dwarves kind of, why didn't they show up at the end? Because the dark ones made all of them appear at the end.
I did wonder that when they're all transported to the ferry, there's no dwarves there. It's just Robin, Regina, Snow, Charming, Henry, and Rumple that get pulled in.
Maybe the ferry's not big enough for everyone. The dwarves are already waiting for them in the underworld. No, this is great. I want to see Grumpy in the underworld.
Hades would just send him right back.
Yeah, he complains too much. Another kind of dropped plot point, sort of, which they actually mention in this one, is that they're like, well, there's seven of us. And then Happy says, technically, there's only six of us because Dopey's still a tree. Is Dopey still a tree? I actually saw a funny comment about Belle leaving town and coming back. It was really because she crashed the Cadillac into a tree on the town line that ended up being Dopey.
No, but she gets that phone call from Henry, and that just, she's so shocked. She loses control of the car and just runs into...
crashes into Dopey. But yeah, he's still a tree out there. They did never resolve that.
So Rumple's just like, it's over. It's all over, guys. Just spend time with your loved ones. There's nothing we can do. And of course, Emma's like, no, let's go research. And Snow, it's like, I don't want to read.
Rumple has a very defeatist attitude about all this, and it's actually interesting because he's the only one, well, at all, I guess, who's been to the underworld and come back. That's why they can use his blood for the portal. And he makes it sound pretty terrible. He says it's worse than you could ever possibly imagine. You'll wish you were dead only to realize you're already dead and you can't die again. And it'll make you long for the stories of fire and brimstone. Do you think that's all just because Cora's there?
Probably.
Cora and Mila.
Cora's there, Mila's there, Pan's there. It's like nobody Rumple really wants to see. Yeah, he seemed extremely horrified by the idea of having to go back there, which I think informs some of his decisions later in the episode.
But the thing is Bay there now?
In an interview that this is more of a purgatory for people who had, is an interview with the head writers, and it was like a purgatory for people who had unfinished business. And that sounds like what villains would have, and most of the people we've heard of coming back are villains.
So Snow, Charming, and Henry decide, no, we want to spend our final moments together at Granny's. Apparently, that's where you go and you get hamburgers.
It might be really hard to get a cheeseburger in hell, so have one last great one at Granny's.
But Emma's their family. Like, Snow gives her this speech about, I want to be with family, I want to make my moments last. But shouldn't she then want to be helping her daughter figure out a way to save them all? Like, it seemed weird.
They needed a way for Emma to decide that she needed to sacrifice herself, I guess, to do that on her own. But another thing that was kind of weird was, okay, so Henry's one of the people who's marked. Why wasn't Baby Neil marked? Because that would have really hurt Emma, too.
Because the Dark Ones respect small children. Oh. Henry is over the age of 13, and so technically a man.
He's a real adult in the fairy tale land.
Why was Rumple in the in-between place and not in the afterlife when he died heroically? Unless it had something to do with him being the Dark One and he couldn't move on, since apparently all the Dark Ones were there.
Regina comes into the crypt and is like, we're giving up. And Emma makes her promise, actually reminds her of the promise she made in Camelot, that she would do whatever it takes to save their family, including kill Emma when she puts all the darkness inside of her.
Yeah, Emma gets it into her head that she can still snuff out the darkness and destroy this and end this. But instead of sacrificing anyone else, like her plan with Zelina was a few episodes ago, she's going to take all the darkness into herself and have Regina stab her with Excalibur.
Next, we're in Gold's shop, and he's telling Belle that she should just leave town, you know, take a little vacation.
I love how he's, like, clearly emotionally distraught, and she's like, are you sure there's something you're not telling me?
And he's like, no, tears.
It's like, no, and she's like, girl, okay. I'm fine, you just need to go and see the world right now. Right now would be good, at 10 o'clock at night.
He grabs her into a hug just so he can hide his face that's, like, about to, like, fall into, like, you know, crying, so he can hide his face. And she kind of realizes something's up, but I'm guessing she's just thinking he's being, you know, sad about her leaving.
He's been very emotional since he woke up.
It's been a really, really up roller coaster ride for Rumple since he...
It's been like 4 days, though. Right? It hasn't been
a very compressed timeline, yes. It hasn't been very long.
Yeah, she didn't see any of the people roaming around in cloaks or anything, apparently.
And I did think it was interesting where he's like, here, you can have my car, you can have this potion to get you over the line, and, you know, just go whenever you want. And then she leaves, like, 5 minutes later.
She's like, peace out! Even though something we were talking about before, that in The Bear and the Bow, she's like, no, we can't leave. Our friends and family need us. Apparently they don't need her anymore.
It did seem a little out of character for Belle, but it was obviously something they wanted to do for the storyline.
It moved the plot along.
It was also a trick.
It was a trick.
Because everyone knows Emily is pregnant in real life, so we were all expecting her to get kind of like ridden off to the side, kind of like in Neverland. So they would work around her pregnancy, but we'll go back to that. So after Belle leaves with the car keys, which she did not steal, like some fans were saying on Twitter.
I wanted to address that there was such uproar about Belle stealing Rumpel's car, and I was glad that was addressed.
Nope, he handed her the keys and told her to go. She wasn't just saying bye to him, she was just gonna take a little vacation and, you know, go to New York, see that really big library, and then probably come back. So while Rumpel's getting a little teary-eyed, Regina and Emma walk in, and they're asking for the sword. And Rumpel's really taken aback by Emma's proclamation that she's gonna, like, kill herself to save everyone.
He comments on her bravery, and it was actually kind of a nice moment. He gives them the sword, and Emma's like, well, what do you want? What do you want in return? And he says nothing. And Regina actually looks kind of proud of him in the background, and it was a really nice moment that I wish would have lasted.
He does make a comment that it might not work, though.
He does. He mentions that Excalibur's kind of got a mind of its own, and it chooses who can wield it, and it chooses its own miracles, and warns her that, you know, she might go through all this and it might not still work.
Emma goes and sees her family, who she promised she would say goodbye to.
And she doesn't have it in her to do it. She just leaves them a note.
And she goes back to her house to get the sword, and Hook shows up, tricks her with Henry. Yeah, tricks her. He pulls a Quora, pretends to be Henry, takes the sword away.
That trick has never not worked on a character on this show.
Is anyone ever just be like, are you sure you're you?
It should be like in Harry Potter, in like the last book in Deathly Hallows, where they have to have security questions and ask personal questions to make sure it's really the person. That's what they need to do in Story Pro.
And Emma knows Harry Potter. She's read Harry Potter.
Well, I guess when all of a sudden you almost attacked your son with a weapon that one slice from will kill you. But
yeah, that time I could see it happening because it was so quick. And it's just you working on instinct. But all the other times that it's happened, before we go further, let's talk about Zelina.
Oh, yeah, Zelina's got a little side story in this episode.
Zelina first just warns them, saying, hey, you guys are going to be dead soon, so, you know.
I'm going to take custody of the baby.
Who still is nameless.
But although she does come up with some great names for the baby this episode.
I like Pistachio, personally.
And the mayor's office.
Going through paint colors, because apparently she's going to take over Regina's office when Regina and company are all dragged to the underworld.
It could use a bit of color, I won't lie.
Those are not some pretty green paint colors she was looking at, though. They were all very garish.
Do you guys think that the reason Robin was chosen as one of the marks was because Hook made that kind of deal with Zelina in the basement? He's like, I'll stay out of your way if you stay out of mine, kind of thing, and they just kind of like had this partnership.
I think it was because they were main characters.
Okay.
I think it's because they were out and about on the streets looking for Hook, and everybody else is smart and has been, like, boarding up their windows and staying away. Because the town looks dead. It looks like nobody's there. It looks like they're already in the underworld. So I think they were just on the streets, and the Dark Ones were kind of going after them.
Rumpel was the only one we didn't see get marked. Where was he? Oh, he was walking. Oh, you know what? It probably happened in that opening scene when he's talking to Hook, and then Hook's like, I've got something you're really gonna like.
Yeah. Okay, 1 second. Okay, and I'm gonna... Robin's marked as well.
Yeah, Zelina is very excited at the prospect of Robin and Regina both being out of the picture, and she can have sole custody of their child. Little Hunter Kelly Pistachio.
Again,
Mills.
again, I don't like Selena, but she just had some good comic relief in that scene, which was just very needed. This has been, like, a very heavy episode, and I admit I was kind of enjoying her kind of ridiculous campiness.
Selena has definitely been used as the comedic relief this season so far. That's been kind of her main purpose, I feel like.
Well, we see the wand again, and all of a sudden, Regina can use it.
Because she believes in herself now, and the whole town believes in her, too. Because after episode two, when they all came and helped her save Robin and said that she really was a hero and could protect the town.
But I thought it always had to do with, like, that she didn't have enough dark magic. That's why they needed someone who was dark.
I don't know.
It was supposed to be you had to have, like, use dark and light magic to use it or something like that. But now apparently it's because she wasn't powerful enough, and now she is because she has the power of belief in herself.
And then, of course, we have that great scene up in the clock tower.
Everything always happens in that clock tower. But
why did she bring her up to that clock tower and busted out the clock tower yet again? I hope Regina used some magic to fix it right after Zelina got sucked into a swirling green vortex.
Why, if Regina could put her into Oz, like take her to Oz, why didn't she take all of them to Oz for just a little trip and then they could come back once the threat had passed? Then nobody had to die.
I think the underworld could have still found them.
Yeah, I don't know that it would work that way. I did like Regina's parting shot where Zelina's yelling that, "You'll see me again," and Regina says, "Somewhere over the rainbow."
Which, so that problem's taken care of, and we found out that Robin left Roland, an unnamed baby, with the fairies.
I'm going to call her Pistachio until we have a definitive name.
He says later that the fairies are going to pick up baby Neil as well.
So yes.
We have Blue babysitting all their children. This isn't going to go well when they come back. They're going to have, brainwash kids.
She is a blue freaking fairy. She's, like, one of the most powerful beings in the world, and she is stuck on babysitter duty.
Well, technically they said fairies, so it could have been, like, Nova or someone.
I don't think it's any better.
Nova will drop the baby. You'll have, like, a Humpty Dumpty baby when you come back.
Poor Nova. We'll never see her again.
No, we won't. She's on CBS now.
Poor Grumpy.
But yeah, that was kind of terrible because the time comes, I guess, that the moon has reached its zenith and the ferryman has come for everyone. So they all get transported to the lake.
Except the dwarves.
We've got our main characters except for Belle and Zelina, and no dwarves in sight. Which, I don't know, maybe they decided their lives weren't good enough.
Dwarves have to swim there.
Or maybe they took the dwarves ahead of time.
Yeah. But Emma confronts Hook, and Regina also reminds Hook of the flashback scene that we just saw, about how he already tore apart one family. Why do it again?
And we find out their deep, dark secret that they've promised never to talk about, and yet there's never been any hint of them having a deep, dark secret in the past three seasons, is that he killed his father. Which I'd like to point out that Regina, Hook, and Rumple all have in common, they have all killed their father. Ooh. And they will probably all have to see them again next season.
That's a very good point. The more and the more that happened this season, the more and more Hook and Rumple have in common.
They do.
So Hook sees Emma getting choked by Nimue.
Emma shows up and apologizes for not being able to get the sword and stop this. And she has a tearful moment with her family. And it's pretty, pretty sad thinking that they're all going to die. And she's going to be stuck raising baby Neil here by herself.
No, it's like really sad, especially like her son died.
It's really sad. Yeah, her son, her best friend, her parents, you know, her Rumple.
Her Rumple.
Her baby daddy's daughter.
Her baby son's daddy. Grandfather. All getting... Oh, and Robin Hood.
Robin. So, Hook has kind of like a moment of realization of what's going on and decides to fight the Dark One.
Well, Emma's being restrained by Nimue. Nimue says she can't kill her, but she can keep her from interfering with their plan. And that, combined with Regina's pep talk about you have to decide what kind of man you want to be, which was kind of the thread throughout his backstory with his father, gets him to change his mind and use Excalibur to soak up all the darkness of all the Dark Ones. They all kind of disappear into the sword. He tells Emma that she has to kill him with it. And she's very tearful and saying that, she has to do it. It was all her fault, you know, since she made him the Dark One in the first place. And he says, no, that she has to stay for her family and let him go, which kind of echoes in the episode Birth, where he's telling her to let him go. And she couldn't in that moment. And that's how they got into this mess.
It was very Buffy Angel season 2 finale, where she literally has to send him to hell because the world will end. She actually stabs him the same way that Buffy stabbed Angel, too.
It was very reminiscent. Like, I've only seen that Buffy episode once, but immediately it, like, recalled to my mind. And Jane Espenson was the writer on Buffy, right?
Yes.
Yes.
You think she was like, hey, this worked really well in Buffy. Let's just, like, switch a few names around.
It's been a long time. No one will remember.
Nobody will remember that show. It wasn't that popular anyway.
Tumblr would disagree.
The internet would disagree.
And Emma turns back into Hero Emma in her little red leather jacket.
The original red leather jacket.
And, oh my gosh, Jennifer Morrison is such a good crier. I don't know, like, how to compliment that better, but, yeah.
I've been studying with Robert Carlyle.
Oh, gosh. I was actually reading, like, fan accounts of people who were on set that night when they filmed that scene and how Jennifer Morrison had to basically cry for about, like, 4 straight hours. They just kept filming it over and over again for having to, like, stab Hook and cry over his body. So, poor thing. She probably had a headache after that.
And everyone's saved. Yay!
Yay! Hook made the big sacrifice. After she stabs him with the sword, it's like his, I guess the Dark One leaves him as well. And the Dark One was the thing keeping him alive because he should have died in Camelot when he was cut by Arthur, the disappearing wonder, with Excalibur. So that wound opens up again and he just starts to die in her arms. And once again, it is just a terrible fate to be a love interest of Emma Swan because you will die.
Like, any guy she smiles at, like, runs the other way because they, like, know what's going to happen.
We've had Graham, Neil, and now Hook all die in her arms.
August, kind of.
August turned into wood and then a child in her arms.
What happened to Walsh again?
Walsh turned into a monkey.
Yeah, just not happy endings for any of these guys.
But, okay, we think we're done. But of course, we're not done. This is Once Upon a Time. We gotta set up next half.
When it happens, it's like the bad guy is vanquished, and then you still have 10 more minutes in the episode, and you're like, crap.
It was particularly confusing because there was the president announcement, so the time was off. So I, like, wasn't quite aware, like, when it was gonna end and when it wasn't gonna end. So I was like, just, let's keep it going, let's keep it going. Rumple's in the shop. He's like, get out. But who is it? It's Belle.
Can I just say that was like the most sad looking, sitting alone in the dark, drinking by yourself.
He's not in a good place.
Rumple is not in a good place.
That's
drinking.
What Hook does. See, Hook does that too. That's something else they have in common.
Well, see, we don't actually see Rumple drink very often. I think the last time we saw him drink was Lacey. Yeah. So
you know it's bad.
You know it's bad when Rumple's breaking out the liquor.
But she comes back to the surprise of all of us because we thought that Emily DeRaven was going off to be pregnant.
They faked us out with that scene that they filmed in the middle of Steveston of her getting in a car and driving away after hugging her father. I think everyone just assumed she was leaving town and was kind of going to be on the back burner in 5B and maybe pop up at the end if she wasn't too pregnant.
Good job, guys. I mean, good job, writers. You guys really got us.
Did not see that scene coming, but yeah, Belle shows up and says that Henry called her, which is adorable that Henry's like, call up my grandma.
I bet he has her in speed dial.
Let her know we didn't all die, and she's...
Yes.
She and her grandma running, number two.
She comes running back in and says that, you know, Henry called her and told her everything, and Rumple lied to her again. And Rumple has a very upset look on his face for a split second, thinking like he's gonna start to explain something. And then Belle cuts him off by kissing him.
Hurls herself at him.
It was the first Rumple kiss we've had in a really long time. So
the first real Rumple kiss we've had since the season 4 premiere.
And that was just a little peck in the car. That wasn't
mm-hmm.
me.
No, we
so
got
this
a little,
one, this
we
one,
got two
was,
kisses.
That was a reunion kiss. It was like the season 2 premiere, by the well.
It's really interesting that they show this scene because Once Upon a Time is a little bit of a family show, and even though these two are married, we see them in the bedroom, and Bella's once again unconscious.
They kind of cut from that very passionate kiss to all of a sudden Bella's unconscious in bed and Rumpelstiltskin is getting dressed, and you're like, I wonder what happened.
Yeah, Belle's clothes are on the chair and Bella's clearly naked. And
this seems similar to season 4 during their honeymoon. I think I've seen this scene before.
Writers have said, she might be pregnant. You don't know.
I think they definitely wanted to get across to the watchers that, yes, they definitely did do something. And that way, if they come back later and she is pregnant, it's very obvious when it happened in the timeline.
I think they would have included that scene, the morning after scene, if they weren't going to utilize Emily's pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I think they even said in one of their post interviews that, you know, you're on the right track. They're going to write in Emily DeRaven's pregnancy.
I'm glad they are going to do that. If they are going to do that, I'd rather her pregnancy be written in than her not be on the show.
Definitely the same way. I don't necessarily think that Rumbel has in a place to have a baby at the moment, but I'm glad that they didn't just send Emily out of town and we wouldn't see her again until season 6.
Emily says either in a Paley Fest or Comic-Con, like, Rumbel is going to get back together, break up, have a few kids, get back together, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I think what she said is coming true.
So in the bedroom, he's awake, getting dressed, and then he gets a text on his little flip phone.
He gets a text message from Emma, meet her in the shop. He goes, and Emma says she can still hear the dagger.
Well, Rumpel plays coy for about a split second. It's like, you've had a long day. Why don't you
go on home? Yeah, he's like, you're mourning. But she presses, and we find out that he is actually the Dark One again.
With a snazzy new dagger. Well, I was kind of wondering why Emma could still hear it. If there was, like, any part of her still connected to the darkness, or if it's just a residual effect. And did Rumpel hear the dagger in the days that he was not the Dark One anymore?
And that could be one of the reasons he tried to get back to the darkness, if it was still calling
to him. Calling to him. So I think that would be an interesting thing if there's some sort of residual effect from it and that Emma's gonna still be feeling throughout the next half of the season. He does say that, you know, he didn't anticipate that because Dark Ones don't usually survive.
But something interesting is that he thought Emma was gonna take all the darkness within herself. He didn't think Hook was gonna happen at all.
No.
So was he thinking he was just gonna take the darkness from Emma and she wouldn't have to kill anybody or kill herself? I'm trying to make this better.
From rewatching the episode, I think that Rumpel was very, very afraid of going to the underworld. And I think he had sent Belle away. She was safe. He had a low moment where Emma basically gave him an idea and gave him an opportunity, and he went with it by using some sort of potion that he randomly had handy and pouring it on the sword that would make it a conduit to channel all the darkness into him instead of destroying it. But I also think that maybe he didn't have a whole lot of faith in what Emma was planning on and it working. Because he did give her that warning that, you know, it might not work. And he really didn't want to die.
But no, even if it didn't work, then he would still die. Like, if they weren't able to gather all the darkness, then he would die anyway. So it wasn't really a failsafe. It was just, hey, if this happens, then I can be the Dark One again, right?
See, I thought it was more the sucking everything up into it and then, like, stabbing someone might not work. So I thought the sucking everything up into it and channeling it into Rumpel was the backup plan in case the stabbing situation didn't pan out. It did. I mean, it would have still ended up saving most people because the darkness would go back into him and wouldn't be roaming. And he even says he stored the darkness somewhere safe. And Emma's like, you mean in you? Which, I mean, we've seen some volatile Dark Ones. I think Rumpel actually probably has handled it the best, which is not saying much, but
the whole thing was really convoluted, which is obvious from our confusion over how the details actually shake out. And I think what a lot of us were upset about was this kind of complete 180 with his character. Where, I mean, we got that he was scared, but it did seem kind of out of nowhere that all of a sudden he's the Dark One again and that he even wanted that.
There wasn't a lot of lead up to it. Like, I feel like they could have peppered in some more conflicted feelings on Rumpel's end about wanting the power back or But they didn't really. Like, the last several episodes, he's been...
willing to die.
Willing to die. He's been heroic. And they haven't really showed that struggle. And I was waiting for that because I was sure he was going to be tempted again. And I was sure that 300 years of being the Dark One was not something you could just shrug off and be fine. But they didn't really give us any of that. And then they just threw in this big surprise twist at the end. It kind of felt like their surprise twist that Hook was a Dark One, which had no lead up either.
Like we kind of said before, the best twist is when you can rewatch something and see the foreshadowing, being like, I completely missed that. But there really wasn't any. So Emma's really upset. She thinks Hook died for nothing. So she decides to take a little field trip to the underworld.
Via blackmailing Rumple to go along with it, otherwise she will tell Belle his dirty little secret, which again feels like a rehash of last season where Hook blackmailed him the same way.
I'm really hoping that Rumpelstiltskin did the right thing and had like a conversation with Belle that they might flash back to at some point, because if he's lying to her again, and she's pregnant, like it's just... there's only so much drama and conflict you can heap on a couple...
before one of them breaks. And but let's go back to this whole underworld and who's going on this mission.
Almost everybody.
Yes. It kind of really bothers me because I understand why everybody went to save Henry in Neverland. I understand why everyone wanted to save Emma because they all had connections to her or him. But nobody really has a connection to Hook except Emma.
I mean, Snow and Charming are the type to drop everything and run off on a heroic journey, and they'd do anything for Emma. So they actually do make a little sense to me that they would go, even though they're leaving baby Neil behind. Like, I feel like it would be more responsible to leave at least one parent behind with the infant.
Or at least Regina or Robin behind to be with the one-day-old?
Regina, yeah. Regina, once again, probably feels... you know, like she owes a little bit of a debt to Emma because Emma saved her from the Dark One at the end of season 4. But for them both to go and leave a one-day-old child, not to mention poor little baby Roland, who we haven't seen in forever, it just seems like a lot of parents abandoning their children to go on this extremely dangerous mission, one would assume, going to the underworld. The only one who being there would actually make sense is Rumpel because he's being blackmailed into it. And then Henry. Why are Regina and Emma okay with bringing Henry? He's still only 13 years old. It seems like that they would want him to not come. But yeah, Belle doesn't get to come because she'll be busy cooking a Rumble baby.
Another thing is, why this character? There's been plenty of the other people who've died who they probably want to bring back. Like, I don't know. She knows of the underworld. She knows there's a way. So she's like, let's just do this. And I know it's just for the story, but it just...
yeah, I think she does have the opportunity like she's never had before, because they know they can use Rumple's blood to open the portal, and it seems like they need a Dark One as well to open the portal, and Rumple is both of those things, and that's why she tells him that he's going to help her, because he can.
And I wonder if, you know, other people that have died in the past that have been very important, like, say, Neil, because you could see a lot of people going after Neil, that they probably moved on. They're probably not stuck in, like, a purgatory, where I guess they're certain for some reason that Hook is stuck there. I guess we can just assume that anytime someone's a Dark One and they die, being a Dark One, even if they do something where it's kind of a sacrifice, like what Hook did, they just automatically go there. So I guess we're just operating under that idea.
Yeah, because as far as Hook is concerned, he did die a hero's death. Seems like dying heroically might mean that you don't have unfinished business, like you had a life well lived sort of situation.
But Rumpel sacrificed himself too, so I guess that just really doesn't matter if you're a Dark One.
But Rumpel was the Dark One when he died, and Hook had the darkness pulled out of him prior to his death.
And also, Hook, when he was dying in Camelot, he said all he wanted to see was Emma without the dark curse.
Which he got to see.
Yeah.
The second half of the season, they all go to the underworld and face all these dead villains and whatnot and find out Hook's not there.
Sorry.
He's moved on. Sorry, guys.
I am excited to see all those people. That might have been my favorite part of the episode, was actually the promo for the underworld, just because you have Cora, you have Pan, you have just all these deliciously horrible people coming back.
And I'm loving the fact that apparently the underworld is just like a really horrible version of Storybrooke.
I'm excited enough for them to go to the underworld that I'll go with it. Whatever, she's going to rip out half her heart. We don't know how that works since he doesn't have a body, but you know.
I'm gonna find it hilarious and really sad if she tries to do that and they're not true love.
I mean, I doubt that's actually what's going to happen because it's kind of like at the end of season four when they're like, Merlin will solve all our problems. And that definitely didn't pan out. It's like if her plan is I'm going to split my heart 10, 11 episodes from now, that's probably not what's going to actually happen.
What was your guys' favorite part of this episode?
The Rumble sex. I mean, what'd you expect me to say? I can tell you my least favorite part of this episode. My least favorite part of the episode was the complete 180 out of nowhere Rumpel taking the power back even when he's not cursed thing that I am hoping they give some further explanation to. It's even in that final scene when they're getting on the ferry to go to the underworld, Rumpel has like this very scared look on his face as the ferry is coming up, and he's the one person who has been to the underworld and I think he knows what's waiting for him there.
It's Korra. He just does not want to see Korra again.
His ex-girlfriend, his ex-wife, his ex-father.
Everybody who ever made Rumpel feel like crap is all there. But
okay, Krista, do you have a favorite part?
Again, I think it might have been the promo. I don't know. This whole season started out really well. We were really excited and it had a lot of promise. And then I feel like it just didn't finish out kind of at the same level that we were hoping. Like Caitlin said, there was a 180 with Rumpel. There was a 180 a couple times with Hook. Like he went from being, you know, a villain who was trying to do better and had come pretty far to being complete 180 to horrible dark one and then 180 back to what he was before when he sacrificed himself. So I just felt like a lot of things were kind of rushed and just shoehorned into this underworld arc. But I think, and the reason I'm excited for the underworld arc is that I think what Once does really well these days is the really kind of campy, ridiculous things. Seeing all these dead people in the underworld running evil Storybrooke sounds ridiculous and amazing. So I think this might actually be pulled off pretty well.
It's my favorite. I actually have some favorite parts. I'm like, these haters over here. I really like the Snow and Emma scene. I was very glad to see them together. I, again, love Zelina's little quippy lines. Mm-hmm. Her, hey, Robbie and Jeannie.
Robbie and Gina.
Gina. And just her baby name ideas. And, of course, I love the Rumbel scenes.
You know, Rumbel had some really, really nice scenes that I feel like fans of that couple have been waiting for something like that for a long time. And then to just have that last 5 minutes just kind of botch it.
Yeah, no, if you cut it right after that kiss, everything's good.
Everything's good. Yeah, it just ended there. That's where the season ended.